Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Two new wildfires are being fought in the interior. Division of Forestry spokesperson Tim Mowry says the highest priority incident is off the Elliott Highway north of Fairbanks in the Haystack subdivision.
Deployed a team of 8 smoke jumpers. We also have the White Mountain crew and 10 Chiefs crew. And 4 HeliTAC firefighters from Fairbanks Area Forestry.
Mowry says with help of numerous water and retardant drops that the Haystack fire was being held at about 3 to 4 acres as of late last night.
Nothing threatened at this point. No evacuations or anything like that. People up in those neck of the woods are familiar with wildfire, so we haven't been fielding too many calls about it.
Mowry says a second fire just north of the Fort Knox gold mine is also getting attention.
Over on the Chattanooga side of the valley, and that's called the Winter Trail Fire, estimated to be about 20 acres. We've got 8 smoke jumpers on that fire. It's close to the mine, but there wasn't any road access to it, so they had to jump the fire. Burning in black spruce, and they've described the fire as smoldering with isolated tree torching. And they're working now to cut a saw line, cutting trees down around the fire to create a fuel break.
Meanwhile, some other fires in the interior are being allowed to burn. Limited resources have kept firefighters from working 2 new blazes on Alaska Native Corporation land south of Manly Hot Springs, and 3 other wildfires located near mile 106 of the Dalton Highway on limited management lands are also being allowed to burn. Meanwhile, Mowry says the conditions are ripe for new starts.
We'll see what happens with this next few days. We are going to be a real test. You know, we've got the hottest weather of the summer coming in right now.
So if we do get some lightning coming through here again this weekend or starting next week, it could get very interesting.
Alaska Fire Service spokesperson Beth Ipson says the hot temperatures and long hours of sun are drying out fuels and priming conditions for fire if there's dry lightning. Human-caused starts are also a concern, and burning suspensions are in effect from Fairbanks to Delta Junction and on the Kenai. A state legislative committee tasked with reconciling House and Senate budgets has come up with compromises which, if passed, would restore some funding to the University of Alaska. A UA budget update says the conference committee budget adds back $15.7 million in state funds, which were part of a $20 million reduction slated for this year under a compact between the governor and UA regents. On the capital side, the conference committee agreed to $31.6 million for deferred maintenance, including over $18 million for modernization of Bartlett and Moore Hall dorms at UAF. The conference committee plan must be approved by both legislative chambers. Representatives of Kinross Fort Knox Gold Mine will be in Delta Junction today to talk about the Manh Choh Project, a new gold mine the company is planning to develop near Tetlin. It's the second of 3 meetings Kinross is conducting in communities that are likely to be affected by the project, including increased truck traffic. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Kinross Gold spokesperson Anna Acheson says tonight's meeting, like the one last night in Tok, are the first the company's been able to conduct in person on the Manh Choh project since the pandemic began last year.
And it's very exciting to be able to do that.
Exciting because it'll be face-to-face instead of online or over the phone, like the past few meetings. Acheson says in-person get-togethers enable better communication, whether it's explaining economic impacts, like the 400 jobs that Kinross says will be created, or reading the level of concern over, for example, the volume of trucking needed to haul ore to the mill near Fox and back, which the company estimates will be 3 to 4 trucks per hour every day over the 5 years of the mine's operation.
You know, October 1st and forward, we've been trying to meet people and listen and provide information via Zoom and phone, which is what it is.
So Kinross has scheduled 3 community meetings and barbecues, all of which will be held outside. The first was Monday night in Tok at the Memorial Park. Today's will be in Delta Junction at the City Park, and the third will be Wednesday in Fox at the Lions Club Pavilion.
It's just another opportunity for those that perhaps were not too excited about Zoom meetings or phone calls to be able to actually come out in person.
During the meetings, Acheson and other Kinross representatives will provide an update on the company's plan to develop the Manh Choh project. The open pit gold mine is located near Tetlin, just south of Tok, and about 200 miles south of Kinross's mill near Fox.
So we've got a series of different posters up that show different phases and the timeline of the project. It also has a list of all the different types of jobs that will be available.
Acheson says if all goes well, Kinross hopes to begin hauling ore by truck from the mine in Tetlin to the company's mill near Fox in 2024. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
A fire that started in a trash can damaged a home on Fort Wainwright. According to a post release, two families were temporarily displaced by the Sunday night fire, which started from barbecue grill ashes thrown in a trash can outside the end unit of a fourplex. It says residents of the two units were already out safely upon the arrival of firefighters who put out the blaze in less than 10 minutes. The end unit was significantly damaged, while the adjacent home suffered minor smoke damage. National caliber steeplechase runner Allie Ostrander of Soldotna has revealed publicly that she's been struggling with an eating disorder. Alaska Public Media reports that the 24-year-old says in a video posted to YouTube she's about 5 weeks into a program that requires her to spend 10 hours a day at a treatment facility. She says she's now putting her recovery ahead of training, including for the upcoming track and field Olympic trials. A sometimes tearful Ostrander says in the video that it was difficult to go public.
I hate that I have contributed to the toxic culture of an obsession with leanness and thinness and body size and appearance over ability. And I am just so frustrated with myself because I want to be a good example, and I don't want the next generation to feel the way that I feel.
Ostrander says the decision to seek help was not entirely her own. She says her coaches with USA Track and Field and executives at her sponsor, Brooks Running, who signed her as a professional runner in 2019 after she won 3 NCAA championships in the steeplechase, told her she had to go into treatment or she'd be dropped from the team.
I'm honestly thankful that I'm here, because if they hadn't forced me to come, I never would have, because I'm never going to think that there's a good time. And like, maybe this season isn't going to be ideal for me, and like, I'm definitely prioritizing treatment as my number one right now, but I'm hoping that that's going to pay off in the long run, and it's going to give me a lot more seasons than I would have had without that.
Ostrander does not say whether she will compete in the Olympic trials later this month in Eugene, Oregon, in which she is considered one of the top qualifiers in the 3,000-meter steeplechase. I'm Dan Bross.